Because I hated that.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a brand new, I guess we're going to call it a show or a brand new spin-off of UCR. This is UCR Real Talk Roundtable, where you get to know us a little bit better and we discuss the big topics. So how is everyone today? Who have we got with us? First of all, Katie Underwood is with us today. How are you, my dear?
I'm very good. I'm awesome. I've just come out of a 2.5 hour client session doing sound and massage in Reiki. So I'm like super, super zen, which I think I'm going to need to be because we're getting real today.
We are getting real. Mr. Jeffrey Emmett, how are you?
Girl, I can't even. Like today, I had to go public. I drove 1.5 hours with my aunt to go to the city to go shopping. I filled the Subaru up, though. I really did. But there was too many people for me. I didn't like it. I was like, we had two more stores to go to, and I'm like, we got to go now. I can't do it. I was sweating in the mask. Not for me.
It's not for you. You're just not going to go back to civilization, are you?
But I sure did get on Grindr, Scruff, and all of the gay dating apps because I changed all of my profile pictures to our ads for our show.
Oh, my Lord.
As you do.
Yeah, because guys will, like, go and they'll check it out, right? Because they're like, oh, we can see him, we can hear him. And usually after they hear my voice, they're like, ah, yo. Which is fine.
Bit of cross-promotion.
And you're peeking in.
No, you never know. Look, okay. Love finds a way. And we have Miss Marie. How are you today, my dear?
Ah, you know, Florida. Getting destroyed down here. I'm tired. These people are taking this whole, I got some more stimulus money to a whole nother level of, you know, let's spend it all and go crazy and fake IDs. And I don't even know, just people everywhere. Jeffrey, you'd have an anxiety attack. Like, seriously.
In fairness, I didn't get stimulated, so I was spending my own damn money.
True. I hear you. Well, look, at least everyone's living their life. They're making up for lost time with COVID.
Apparently in Florida, though, they can't afford the electric bill.
But they can afford to go out for lunch, apparently.
Well, you know, the funny thing is in Florida, I guess COVID doesn't exist because, you know, seeing a hostess and being sat at a clean table is a foreign concept to people, I guess, since, you know, they forgot. They're just running and jumping on filthy tables. And I'm like, oh, what's the matter with you people? I'm like, sanitize, COVID, get to the hostess. Like, I'm sick of this crap. Like, so she's been one of those.
Merca.
Yeah, exactly. COVID doesn't exist. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see. Look, I guess it speaks to the human spirit how quickly things are going back to normal, isn't it? You know? So speaking of the human spirit, we were having a little conversation the other day after the show, after UCR Live, which is usually the best part of UCR Live that you guys don't get to see. Maybe one day when we reach Patreon level, we might let you behind the curtain. But we get chatting about some serious stuff. I think Jeff and I were on for 2.5 hours after the show the other day. My ears were very sore. That's all I know. So we thought we would discuss a topic that was kind of near and dear to everyone's heart. Well, not near and dear, but everyone's gone through a different experience. So today's topic is going to be monogamy in the modern world. Is the one an outdated concept? Now, I know that there's a lot of different experience on this panel. So, Jeffrey, you are. What is your status at the moment as of your relationship life?
My dick is dead. I'm single as shit.
There we go. That's beautiful words for the ladies. Katie Underwood, let's where are we at with you?
I'll try and state my situation a little more eloquently than Jeffrey.
Your dick's not dead.
I don't have one, so not for lack of wanting, but. Look, I'm also technically single, but my current situation is as Facebook. The only category
it's complicated.
Would be it's complicated. But actually, it's not accurate because it's not complicated for me. It's very simple. I understand where I'm at. But but winding back, I have practiced monogamy in the past, and I can do that. Much different to what people believe about bisexual individuals that we're not capable of monogamy. That is simply not true. We're just as capable of commitment as anyone else. So I've been monogamous. I've been married. I've been separated. I've been single. I've been partnered. I've been in an open relationship. I've been in a closed relationship. And I guess the most accurate way of describing what I'm doing now is a version of polyamory, which is where I'm allow myself to experience love with more than one person. Not necessarily at the same time. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
So girls having a good time, basically.
I'm an independent woman, so I'm enjoying my life.
And Marie, you are famously married. As for some of the stories.
We've been married. We just had our 7-year anniversary of being married. We've been together for over 13 years. I have a 6, almost 7-year-old stepdaughter. So obviously there was a little hiccup in our relationship where he got someone else pregnant and we were able to work through it. And now I help co-parent and raise her, as you can see behind me, you know, and it works because she got remarried. It was tough when she was single, but when she got remarried and we really like him and we work together as 4 adults, you know what I'm saying? We help each other. We're there for each other. And, you know, we have some other supports that like my sister, her mother, you know, for emergencies, but we try to figure it out between the 4 of us, you know, so she doesn't have to be in daycare or anything like that. So
that's awesome. I think it's really amazing when you, have successful co-parenting relationships. I think when there's kids involved, that's like, to me, that's the most important thing about anything that I do is that the father of my children and I have a good friendship, a good relationship, and our kids feel safe and secure. So that's just fantastic to hear you doing that.
Yeah. And she makes it easy because she's easy to love. So, you know, it's good.
So we're going to jump back in the way, way back machine, kids. Jump back to your teenage self.
Oh,
we're gonna talk about first love to start with. So I think everyone remembers their first real, you know, heart stops, can't stop thinking about them, stomach flipping romance, no matter what it was. Compare that to today. What would your young self think about yourself today? Take a second, have a thought, because I had a very good conversation with a married friend of mine, and she said, she was like, I would never have imagined myself here. Like, she was traveling the world, she was going to do this, and this, and then she settled down. She's got 3 kids, happily married, doing the house, doing the dog, doing all that kind of thing. I think it's very interesting to look at the span, even of your romantic life, and go, oh, it took a turn, didn't it? And what that could teach you. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
You want to go first?
Out of my way, bitches.
Go, Katie.
Get it.
My 16-year-old self was still very much had bought the myth of the one, and I shouldn't call it the myth. I think for some people the one is possible, but that Disney princess myth, I think, was very much front and center in my mind, that the right way to go was to find a male partner, so an opposite sex partner, and that ideally we would be married and have a house and have 2.5 kids and a dog, and you call that a life until you retire and die. So, you know, that was the normal life that had been presented to me in television and from my parents, and the model of a version of my own family, and thinking that I had to replicate that, and that would mean that I had a successful partnership. But yeah, to fast forward and look at my life now, I think there's almost no frame of reference for it. And I'll say for me that the big change about what I need from relationships is totally different before kids and after kids. So obviously before kids, even though I'm a bisexual woman, which means I could fall in love with a man or a woman at, you know, at any one time, for me to most easily have a family, partnering with a man was kind of my objective. You know, it's not to say it can't be done, obviously, but I felt like that was the easiest path. But once I had my kids, suddenly I really didn't need a man anymore in that way. And it, and ever sorry guys. So ever since then,
It's called the Real Talk Roundtable, people. It's real talk.
Yeah, my I mean, don't get me wrong. I love men, obviously, as people and in other ways. But, you know, since having my kids, it's like, well, I don't need you for that anymore. And actually, I know how to change a light bulb and I know how to prune my own garden and I'm used to putting my own bins out. Like, honestly, I don't need that. I don't need men for that. So it's kind of swayed me more over to the other side probably in the last 9.5 years. But yeah, very different. I don't think my 16-year-old would even know what to think about what I do now because the whole mode is totally different.
What about you, Marie? You can go next.
I obviously had my daughter when I was 15. So, you know, to me and looking back at her dad, and we met when I was 13 years old, you know, we had a kid by 15 and it wasn't love. I think it was a young infatuation because, you know, if you don't know someone truly or you don't live with them or you're not your adult self, how could you truly love somebody? So I can honestly say, like, my husband is the first person I actually love because there's complete comfortableness between each other. You know, like, he sits in the bathroom while I take a shit and talks to me and it's nothing, you know. I can sit on his lap while he's pooping and it's nothing, and there's no weirdness, there's no, it's not uncomfortable. It's, you could be sick and look your worst and that person is like, it's totally fine because I love you, you know what I'm saying? But when we were kids, like, oh my god, it was so trivial and stupid, and my daughter's father was like such a piece of crap. So to me, I'm like, yeah, I think I, you know, getting away from all that and finding somebody and realizing, oh, wow, I never really did love anybody because I was never truly comfortable with anyone being who I am and being myself. So I think he knows, and we've talked about that. He had a girlfriend who he was infatuated with, and he's like, and I look at her now and think, oh, my God, what was I thinking? He's like, but when I was 21, I was like infatuated with the girl. And, you know, I think it's, you grow up, you get older and get in your ways and it's just different. Like, you feel different towards the other person that you're with.
Jeff, I know you got a lot to say, so.
Well, actually, Stevie Poo, you're the only one that didn't talk about where you're at in life.
I'm the moderator. I'll tell you later.
Listen, Whoopi. No, Whoopi, it don't work like that. What's your situation? I'd say compromise. Me.
I like to call it terminally single. Oh, no. Girl's too busy for that at the moment. Like, you know, I got two jobs. I got a podcast now, that needs attention. So I think I agree with Katie. I think it's, look, you get what you need when you need it is basically the way I look at it. And anyway, that's enough about me. Jeffrey, back to you.
My 16-year-old self would probably wonder what the hell I'm doing, right? Like, it was so different then. I went to Catholic school my whole life. I don't know that I was ever really in the closet. I feel like I kind of came out, you know, singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I loved my ruby slippers, like, played with Barbie. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like a secret. But the thing that I feel is so different is back then when, you know, you're hooking up or whatever, it was exciting. It was something you weren't supposed to be doing because, you know, gay, Catholic church, not good. So it made it exciting and thrilling. And then you come out of the closet fully and it's like, oh, well, I kind of took the fun out of this. You know what I mean? Like, you're not sneaking around, you're not hiding, you know, the neighbor's dad's not walking in as we're like messed up on the floor trying to throw things together and he's like, what the hell's going on in here? You know, like, it was fun, it was exciting, we had to sneak around and then it wasn't fun anymore.
Maybe you should, like, in your role play, you could, like, pretend to be straight and, like, yeah, being gay on the side. Maybe that would, like, amp up the excitement.
Pussy is for me. Thank you. Okay, listen, but here's the thing.
Ever do that again.
It's not possible for him. It's not. He likes to come to my house because he wanted to play with my Barbies. So it's not possible for him.
But here's the trippy thing. I also never thought that I'd sleep with women, which I have. And after my divorce, I slept with a few. Or, you know, like females that were becoming male that had the top surgery. And that always like shocked people. But even when I was younger, though, I'm like, all right, well, either way, it's going to work out. So, you know.
We have a late comer joining us, guys.
We do.
Oh, hey.
Hi.
Beer and tea.
I didn't think I would make it, but I did.
Yay. Well, you've just come at a great time. We were asking the question. So, Vera.
Yes.
You are, well, actually, how much do you want to say? Are you single at the moment, Vera?
I am. I'm perpetually single.
Postcode. See, Vera's terminally single with me. It's all good. We live it out. So we're talking about our 16-year-old self, the one that, your young love, your first love, and going, oh, that moment, what would
that
they think
actually-
of me?
I didn't have that moment till I was 30.
Well, there you go. What does your 30-year-old self think about where you're at now? Could your 30-year-old self imagine Vera today?
Probably not. My 30-year-old self was determined to have children. I was so in that procreation mode. I think I would be totally stunned and amazed to find out that I'm at the other end of my life with no kids. But if I had any,
I wouldn't say that. You've got the cast of UCR. But anyway,
yeah. If I had any words of advice to give to myself, it would be more sex, and let my body anxiety rule me a lot. And I know I see fatter women, uglier women getting laid all the time, and I think, God, why did I not have the confidence to just go for it?
You can still do it now. You can still have
sex. Yeah.
There's nothing stopping you.
But I, that mad, passionate rush to, oh, fuck. I blew it.
They have medication for that.
When you get to my age, it's like, yeah, I could do this. Yeah, that was nice. When you're 30, it's like, yes, fuck me on your son's fire truck. Oh,
oh my.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. The girls at work tell me they just drink a lot of wine and then they suck some dick and have a lot of sex. That's what their suggestion is. I guess you should try that.
She's like, I didn't know this was going to be so graphic. I should tell you now.
We had this conversation this morning that one husband drove all the hungover girls to work, so he had to get a dick sucking later. That was pretty much my conversation.
Beautiful words.
And one girl said, are you offering to suck my husband's dick? Because you can go ahead, because I'm not doing it.
This does tie into Katie a little bit, because it really was sound meditation and centering myself that made me more aware of the fact that I wish I got laid more.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Nice save there, Vera. You had me worried for a minute. We went from cock sucking as currency to that ties into Katie. I'm like, what the?
I was a little worried. Nice. It was like, well, we made it two shows in before she quit. We're good. So the first guy, right? He ended up going to prison. I got him into Catholic school. Yes, he ended up going to prison. And it was nuts, right? So he got out of prison. I was already in Joe. I had lost a bunch of weight, whatever. You know, I was in one of my Kirstie Alley phases. And he totally still wanted to like meet and hook up. He was like with a girl, pregnant, still messaging there. Finally, I had to block him. It was crazy. And two, he wasn't real happy when he found out I had hooked up with his other cousin.
It was just that girl.
I have a thing for straight guys or married guys or guys, you know. I don't want.
See, now that's a totally different story. Well, you set yourself up to fail.
Application, though. I didn't want love. I wanted that excitement because
maybe
what you missed
is we could have changed brains for like a few months. Back when we first met.
Yeah, like I wouldn't take, I don't, you know, like even with married, I didn't take my shirt off. Like it didn't matter how skinny I got, I was always very body insecure. So definitely affected
my
sex
body
life.
Anxiety drove me. Yeah.
Listen, you know what I tell my husband? If I don't feel like shaving my legs, I don't care if you feel like you're getting set on fire. I'm still going to rub those bitches all over you. Don't care. If I don't feel like shaving, I'm like, if I don't feel like wearing makeup, I'll give a damn. You're going to just get over it. And he's fine with it. So
it was never the legs, it was the booty belly.
Well, I think what Katie said earlier about, you know, buying into the whole Disney princess thing and monogamy, right? There's this picture of what life is supposed to look like. And for me, I agree with that. Like, I feel like we were set up to fail by watching all these movies that was like, somebody's going to come and rescue you. They're going to save you and life's going to be all better. You're going to magically fall in love. And that's not what life is like at all.
No.
And as I got older, and I kind of went with like Katie, right? Like I decided I don't know that a relationship is even for me. I like being alone. I don't want to have to deal with somebody. I don't want to have to care about their feelings every day because I'm selfish, right? I've got three kids to look after. I don't have time to worry about a grown adult who's having a bad day and just wants my attention nonstop. It's not healthy to me, and I'm not good at it. I'm not good at being married. I was bad, like, and it really at the end, I was ready for an open marriage because it was just not good.
It's because you set yourself up for failure. Like, marriage is work, but you can just be like half listening to a person and be like, oh, sorry, honey, sorry you had a bad day, and just move on. Like, it's not that hard, seriously. My husband has a bad day
every
day.
And I'm not saying, like, I'm not saying that, but I mean, I need my alone time, right? And I want to go upstairs and be left alone. I don't want to have to explain to somebody.
No, I'm
like, I just need a minute. Like, I couldn't imagine somebody coming to the bathroom while I was in there. Like, I literally would throw anything I could get my hands on. You know, that's no, leave me alone. Like, leave me alone. You don't need to be in the bathroom while I'm doing my business.
Something I want to comment on here with about that and what Marie said, it's like, it's fantastic. You're in a, you know, clearly a great relationship where you guys want to be together or apart the same amount. And I think, Jeffrey, for people like you and me, I've read a couple of books on attachment theory, which talks about, you know, you're either got different attachment styles, basically the level to which you want to be with someone or independent from someone. And I think from what I've seen and what I've experienced, what are the keys to having a successful committed relationship, whether that's monogamous or open or something else, is that you have the same attachment style. So like what Marie's describing is a very closely attached bond, and clearly her partner is the same, and so they're both satisfied. But if you get someone that has that sort of attachment style with what I'm probably and you probably are, Jeffrey, which is an avoidant style, which is we really need our own independence and our own alone time. Doesn't mean that we love our partners any less.
Right.
But the way that we engage with them is very different. So the key for people like us to be successfully partnered is we need to find someone with that same sort of attachment style that's like 70, 80% of the time you're living your life, I'm living mine, and then occasionally we come together and we share that and we enjoy it.
Yes.
But we're not so closely attached all the time. You know, some people thrive that way, but for people like you and I, I'm like, get me out, you know. So
get with the firefighter. They're home for 48 hours, usually working they're gone for 25. That 24, that's my husband. Every third day I have the house to myself, the TV to myself, and he's gone. So then
there
we have each other. There's, and then
the
you know, and I work 5 days a week.
Well, I agree with Jeff, what Jeff was saying earlier, though, about how you're set up to fail. Mm. I was the ultimate princess girl. I was waiting for Prince Charming. You're not the right one. I'm sorry. Oh, no. Shy retiring me. And then when I found what I thought was the one, I just threw myself into it wholeheartedly. I was like, I was there. Mm. I was there for him. I was there for his mother. I was there for his kids. I was in it to win it. And when it all blew up in my face, it totally blindsided me. And
I think
this anymore. You know,
maybe when I was younger, I think I would have done that. But even when I was getting married, you know, we waited 6 years. I remember before, like, I didn't want to do it. And I kept saying, what's wrong with me? That this isn't enough, that he's not enough. And, like, he seemingly loves me so much. What is wrong with me that this, I can't be happy? That I was convinced that there was something wrong with me because nobody ever told me it was okay to be a loner or that you didn't have to be with each other constantly.
See, this nobody is where talks I feel, about that. This is where I feel sorry. I don't know sorry. Actually, that might be the right word. But you see these older couples, like we're talking past 50, like in their 60s, 70s, like 80s, that they're obviously together because that was what was expected of them in their life, like, by their parents. They hate each other. You can tell, like, the venom, yeah. Because it's
my parents. Like, my grandparents.
There's got to come a certain, like, my parents split up when I was 18. But there's got to come a certain time when your personal happiness matters more than what society expects, right?
But that was a different generation.
I know, but I can't imagine seeing the world. But they're seeing the world change around them as well.
Right. But it was like, also that generation, just the generation that felt that if you were gay, you had to hide it your whole life.
Yeah, of course.
You couldn't come out, you know.
I had a great aunt and uncle. She was a lesbian. He was gay. And they were together because it was taboo to do it on my mother's side. Right. My mother's side.
What did I miss?
I wait on a lot of people who are retired elderly people at my establishment. And when I see one of them die, because it happens, they're older, that other person is heartbroken and lost. I mean, we had a couple and she passed away. Not even a year later, he passed away. And you could tell he said, I miss her. I just don't even know how to be without her. You know, like, so I think that that's a long time to get on each other's nerves. I agree. But I've seen it to where they know, you know, she likes this. Oh, and he likes this. And oh, you know, and they're so sweet and it's cute together. And I'm sure they have their struggles. But when one, I mean, I'm crying at work, hugging people because we lost, you know, he lost his wife and we lost a friend, you know, and it's just like, and you feel that heartbreak and it's just like the look on their faces, it's just terrible, you know? So I know that generation, it felt they had to stay together, but a lot of them, I feel like, they really loved each other.
I think it's definitely a testament to that generation, though, that, and as you mentioned before, Marie, you know, good relationships, they do take work. They don't just happen. You don't just fall into it and everybody magically knows what to do and what to say. You know, having been married in the past for 10 years, you know, we did counseling, we did personal development together and apart. We did so many things to help strengthen our relationship. And for a time that worked. But I think that our generation and younger don't have that same resilience or perhaps accountability. I'm not sure what the word is, but they don't actually want to put the work in. They'd rather just swipe left and go, well, that relationship didn't work.
Instant gratification. It's not working now.
And in the phases of relationship, I think it's like the honeymoon phase or that limerence, that romantic phase lasts even right up to about 18 months. And a lot of people drop off the radar after that when this much deeper, more mature, more calm, less exciting love starts to develop. And for a lot of people that they'll bail out at that point and go, well, it's not exciting anymore. Therefore, I'm not in love. Therefore, this is not right for me. Whereas, you know, the kind of beautiful domestic connection that Marie describes is indicative that that deep, mature love has evolved past just the thrill of, you know,
that
early phase.
100%. I always say to people, you truly don't know someone till you've been with them for probably 2 years. Because the thing is when I first met my husband, I was like, listen, you're going to think I'm a crazy bitch because I'm blunt. I'm honest. I'm never going to change. I might grow up every year. I get more mature and stuff like that. But I am who I am, and I'm never going to be fake about it. If you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't want to know the answer, you probably shouldn't ask, you know. And he always said that that was something, and his family members always said that was something they respected about me, that I was never a fake female. And I meet these girls, and I'm like, you know, and his friends always want to bring girls around me. Marie, see, Tess, tell me what you think. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't want you to get mad at me when I tell you, you probably shouldn't be with this girl. Like, so I think it's like, because you can tell they're fake. And, you know, and it's like, so I start talking to him and try to get him to tell me things. And, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, I'd probably tell him not to marry her. But, you know, the thing is that I feel like that is the problem, is you meet people who don't really know who they are. You know,
well, I think they don't know who they are either, which doesn't mean.
Well, you also become different people when you're in that relationship. You know, you give up some things, he gives up, or the other person gives up some things. I'm not, you know, my dynamic is male, female, but you know, it's you change to be in that relationship. You know,
is it change or is it compromise?
Compromise. Yeah,
both.
Yes, there's compromise. But I was think... gonna say. Sorry, just one thought before I let you go.
Go, Vera.
I think that Marie's pictures, I always point, that old Italian in me. The pictures you post of you and your husband, they always make me feel good. Because even though I never found it, I do feel like you found it. That happily ever after.
You guys are going to think I'm crazy, but the first time I kissed him, I knew. And I just, a shock went through my body.
Crazy.
I'm telling you, it's the truth. Ask my best friend. She goes, what is it about him? You don't care about guys. You are a total man eater. You don't care about guys. You never want to get married. You're just this person who is like, oh, he's getting on my nerves. Bye. And I might punch you in the face too. So the thing is like, I just said it. My mother always told me when you meet, they got me a magnet that says hanging out with all the wrong guys, waiting for the right one to come along. She always said, you'll know when you know. And I was like, bull crap, whatever. You know, you're crazy, lady. But the thing is it was true. And, you know, he tells me every day, I love you more every day. He's like, I didn't think it was possible to even love you more than I love you now. He's like, I couldn't even imagine my life without you. So I feel like, you know, we went through a lot of crap to get to where we are. And I think that people maybe need to not seek revenge. And that's what I always tell these young kids. You know, if somebody makes a mistake, you guys should probably work through it. You shouldn't go sleep with someone because they slept with someone.
Yeah.
The best idea. Yeah. You know, but you know, you live in that moment. And, you know, like we had to go through a lot of soul searching when he got someone else pregnant and we lived together. We had been together for 6 years. And it was because I had a teenage daughter. She was, you know, being rebellious, like wanting to do whatever she wants and breaking curfew. And it caused me and him to argue. And, you know, and a female friend of ours was like, oh, how are you guys doing? Oh, you're not doing good. Oops. Didn't mean to send you that nude. You know, that was kind of the
situation. Yeah.
That's pretty much what I went through. So, you know, and the thing is like, you know, it had to be, I had to forgive him, you know, and had to move on. And we had to, you know, be honest with each other and no more secrets and no more locked passcodes. Like I'm on his laptop right now. You know what I'm saying? Like there couldn't be any secrets. We had to tell each other the truth. And, you know, we do. And that's.
Well, isn't that kind of the point of a relationship?
Right. No, but that's a choice. You know, you make the choice to get past it or you don't, you know? And I've had a couple of different friends who have made the choice to forgive and move on. And I won't judge anything in their relationship. I wouldn't want them to judge anything in mine. And they are so happy. It's not, you know, it's the choices that they made.
Yeah, I think to me, sex is kind of sex, right? Like I can forgive that. Like if it was an emotional thing, I'd have a bigger issue with that because for me, like what, you know, changing for somebody, right? Or are you changing? Are you growing or compromising? That was one of the things I was pissed off the most about when my marriage ended, was like, I changed who I was for you. And then it hit me. Yeah. Wasn't his fault. It was my own. It had nothing to do with him. Trapped. It was me.
That's why you felt trapped. To a box
that I didn't belong in. And neither did he. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not bagging on him. He, you know, I think felt the same thing. And we tried to communicate. Like, you know, we did the love. I read the love language thing and realized that we were just two totally different people the way we came at love. And it just, I did think it could have worked had we put in the effort, but it wasn't happening.
Right.
I think one of the common mistakes that we all make, and again, this is from a few books that I've read on this topic over the years, is that when we first fall in love with someone, often what happens is we have a projection about what we wish our partner were like. And then we meet someone that we feel some sort of spark with, and it's like we take that blueprint and we try and force it onto that person and go, right, now I want you to meet every vision, need, behavior of what I believe my perfect partner is. And if you don't fit it, then you're not doing your thing. Or the flip side to that is we try and turn ourselves into their perfect partner and we lose ourselves in the process. You know, so for me, having been through a marriage and a long-term relationship and casual relationships and monogamous relationships and open relationships, for me, it's absolutely about being totally authentic about who I am, what I need, and what I expect or don't expect from anyone else. And, you know, right now at 45 with two kids, single parenting, I'm pretty happy. I actually don't need anyone to give me anything. Now it's about sharing my time with people that value me, that respect me, that think I'm a goddess, that are interesting to talk to, you know, tick, tick, tick. Yes, I want that. But I don't have this expectation that you're going to fit some outdated patriarchal, matriarchal, Disney princess, prince model of what I think, you think, I think, you think I'm, you know, you're supposed to be. So I think that's the trap. And I found that in my journey where I really matured is I let go of that false blueprint. I let go of the fantasy and went, right, who am I and what do I actually need? And then let's see if we can attract that, you know, into my life.
And a lot of it comes down to, I think, people being afraid of failure. Do you know what I mean? They couldn't make I couldn't make this marriage work. What does that say about me? I can't make this relationship. I can't make this person stay faithful to me. What's wrong with me? What have I done? Why am I failing when XYZ, my best friend, my cousin Larry, everyone else can make it work? I think when you can admit that it's okay to make mistakes and you can learn from failure, you learn a lot through failure. And not even failure, just life, you know what I mean? You learn a lot through going through it, and letting go of that fear of not meeting everyone else's expectations. I'm the only single person in my whole friendship group. Like, they're all married with kids. Like, they've got the house, they've got the dream. But
same.
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. Like, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. Like, I work in the arts. I do this. I work in retail. I could not imagine. I'm like, I'm ready to open a vein. Like, don't you can't, well, you, can't it doesn't, you can't like I couldn't be that, like, I need to be able to do what I want to do,
right?
But a lot of people see that as like, I don't own a house, I don't do this, I'm failing by some people's, you know, expectations. I think that's for me, it works.
Are you happy?
I think that's
are you happy?
Yeah. Okay. Of course I am.
So you're not failing because you're happy. Someone's happiness is not the next person's happiness, and no one should judge how you choose to be happy. If I want to be married and help raise my stepdaughter, and that makes me happy, my family is supportive because that's what makes me happy. And I always want people to be happy, and, you know, whatever choice you make and however you want to live your life, that's all I would want for someone that is a close friend of mine. And but I don't
know what the choice the case. There, when I was younger, the pressure to couple up was enormous. The fact that I wasn't, you know, staying with any of these guys that my friends were setting up with was, you know, why are you so picky? Why can't, he's a nice guy. It's like he has no idea what the theater is, and I spend my life in a theater, you know? why is he a nice guy? Because he won't beat me. That's, yeah, you know, that's not enough, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think some people set the bar really quite low. And yeah, then they go, hooray, I'm coupled, yeah, with an abusive, controlling, coercive, yeah, accent, you know, partner. But look, that's here's what I prepared.
He's a total sociopath, but isn't it cute?
I was surrounded when I was younger by serial monogamous. They loved being in a relationship. Oh, they didn't really care, God, who it, yes, was, so it's like the trash would just come in. And not, I mean, they weren't even always trash bags, but it was just like, you deserve better. Like, you're not actually happy. You're miserable in this, but you just need to have somebody because you're so codependent. And it was always mind-blowing to me, right? And then I realized, though, throughout my marriage, that I definitely became partially codependent because it was just the security of having somebody else there. And it took, you know, a month or so after everything hit the fan and I realized I'm going to be raising kids on my own. I have these businesses. What the hell do I do now? Mm-hmm. That was a big shock to me. You know, like my whole life world had exploded. I had to walk away from the businesses because I couldn't work 15 hours a day and have three little kids and have an 8-month-old baby. It wasn't going to work on my own. I had to change my whole life. And I'm so grateful that I didn't spend all that time in therapy because, you know, doing radio shows the first time around, we did it 5 nights a week, you know, and we had multiple shows on. So we were always doing that. It was always a problem. You know, going to conventions with the Power Ranger troop, it was always a problem. You know, and I felt like, okay, well, I'm going to give this up because I choose my marriage. And it didn't work. You're forcing yourself into something that, and he's a great guy, you know, I'm happy he's happy. He got right into another relationship and that works for him. And for me, everybody, his mom, you know, my life, still, are you talking to anybody? Are you seeing anybody? What am I going to do with three badass kids? Like, I don't have time for this. Like, you, yeah, know, it's hard enough to find somebody you click with. And I definitely do, when I'm around somebody, want to be entertained. I don't want to be the entertainment. I kind of like to be the quiet one. And so when we're spending the time together, if it's not a stimulating conversation, like, it's not going to work. And then we have the whole sex aspect of, I don't know, well, I really just want to bang one dude or one girl. Like, I kind of want to just...
We're going to get to that.
The flavor of life.
Sex requires so much trust, yeah, you know? You know, you got to really trust somebody before you're willing to just be that totally open. I mean...
Maybe not so much in the gay world.
Stop.
It's a different thing. It really is. Like, getting a conversation.
Well, I know, but...
You know, they're like, you get on an app and hook up with somebody random. Well, yeah, they have. You
that's
know,
a show in it. That's really, yeah, a show in itself.
But it's
being able to separate sex and romance is a different.
Straight people with casual sex.
I think I resonate a lot with what Jeffrey says. I think it's a really different energy when you're a single person with kids and when you're without. So the decisions that you make around who you're going to date or be in a relationship are totally governed by, is this going to work for my family as well? And like for me, the reason I've made the decision not to be in a committed relationship with anyone other than, you know, the father of my children, we're happily separated, is that I'm like fierce mama bear. You know, I want to protect the energy of what I have with my girls. I want them to feel that our family life is consistent. And then, you know, it's been my choice to go, well, independently, when they're not with me, then I've got time to do what I want with whoever I want. But I'm fiercely protective around that zone. And it's not to say that I would rule out the possibility of getting in a committed relationship again, but that person has to jump through a hell of a lot more hoops.
Right.
Before right. I will consider.
Because you have to trust them with your female.
That's right. Because yeah. I've got two girls. That's, you know, red flag city. I'm very fiercely protective, you know, around that energy. And yeah, like I would, and look, this decision's not for everybody, but my girls are almost 10 now. I'd rather wait another 10 years till my kids are out of the house, and then maybe I'll go, all right, now I'm ready to repartner, you know, because then it doesn't affect them and I can fuck it up and it's not going to fuck them up, you know. But right now, they're my first loves. That's it. Everyone else has to play second fiddle to that, you know. And so that's why I resonate with what you're saying, Jeffrey. It's like, you know, you've got your tribe. That's your love. That's your marriage. Yeah. That's your family energy. And if we find time outside of that, well, that's a different thing.
Well, and I think what you said, too, about the finding time, I watched it. Mia Farrow, the documentary that was on HBO.
Oh, my God. How can you trust anybody after watching that?
One of the things she said in the beginning was Woody did not want kids. He didn't want anything to do with them. And she said, well, why can't I just date somebody outside of my children? Like, I have my life with my kids, and that's – and then that was – it started as something that was separate, and her time. And I'm like, oh, well, that maybe I could do. But I'm like, wait, what time would that be? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have a nanny anymore, you know? 10, like
15 to 11.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen. Like, you know, you get 15 minutes every 3 days, maybe.
Especially, I think it's interesting, especially you guys have kids, but you also have careers that are fairly... like, especially Katie, when you stepped away from music to have your kids, really, didn't you?
I did for a few years, that's true. But then I stepped away from everything, you know.
Yeah, like exactly.
Really, the first five
years. To put that focus, focus
before
on them.
Before they started school, you know, I was only ever working 1 or 2 days a week, and the rest of my time, you know, I was with them. And I was single parenting for most of their lives. Although, again, thankfully, I have a great co-parenting relationship with my ex, even though our relationship with each other, you know, we gave it a few goes, but we didn't get there. But I'm thankful that, you know, we're great co-parents. But yeah, it's amazing. Now that's the other thing, you know. Yeah, I love my kids, but my business is my second love, my career, you know, because that's my authentic self. When I'm not doing events, I'm not doing clients or doing podcasts or doing interviews or doing, you know, and then the kids come home and it's like, again, what time exactly am I supposed to have a committed relationship in between all that, you know? So, for the foreseeable future, that's not for me. But, you know, I'm all for it, for people that can find it. And, you know, Marie's story is inspiring. And, you know, such a testament to the fact that with work, real deep inner work, that's how you make these relationships work. But I think also, you know, as Jeffrey's highlighted, when there's just, or even as Vera's highlighted, when there's just that mismatch, sometimes you can't get over that. Like with my husband and I, we were together for 10 years. It was horribly abusive, but then we worked through it. He did an anger management course. I did anger management courses. We did personal development courses. We had our relationship in such a sweet spot at about the 10-year mark. We're like, wow, maybe this will work, you know, I'll get to grow old with this person. And then we hit the final unresolvable roadblock, which was at 29 and he was 39. And for 18 months, I tried to get pregnant. And it wasn't because I wasn't fertile. It's because he wouldn't fuck me.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
And he just would not. He just wasn't mature enough to have kids, and my internal clock was ticking, and I'm like, man, we've been together for 10 years. He's like, oh, but we need to go to this medical conference. Oh, we need to go to this thing. I'm like, how many more parties and lunches and dinners and overseas trips do you need to have before you actually just change and have a family? Because that's what I'm in this for, and I thought you were too. And if you're saying now that that's changed – gee, it's been a great 10 years, but this is not something I can resolve, and it wasn't something I was prepared to compromise on. And I think, you know, whether or not you want to have kids or not, that's a real deal breaker. You really need to be on the same page. It doesn't matter what side of the page you're on. If you're a couple and you decide not to have kids and fucking travel the world, fucking amazing, you know, do that. But, you know, for me, that was really, really sad. And I resonated with what you said, Stephen, earlier, that the most devastating thing for me in that relationship ending was that I felt I'd failed, that I'd made the wrong choice, or that I hadn't done the work, or I don't know, that I had failed somehow. But I managed to reconcile that and go, no, look, I just, who he was then and who I was then has changed. And yeah. Unfortunately, you know, and it was working for sort of 10 years until it didn't. And, right. You know, and then I had to let that go because the other choice would have been to stay and either not have kids at all or wait another 10 years. And call me stubborn, but I wasn't prepared to do that. So, you know.
Well, exactly. I actually never felt like I failed because I always felt like I was in the driver's seat. I walked away from every relationship I've had. It came to a point where I'm not going to put up with this treatment.
Yeah.
This isn't working the way I expected it to, you know. You have your life, I have my life, no hard feelings. And I really do mean that when I say that to parted lovers or friends, you know. I have no hard feelings. You know, you're welcome back in my life as a friend, but this isn't working for me. So I never felt like I failed. I always felt like I was in the driver's seat.
And you know, I think that that's really empowering to hear that.
A lot of people didn't understand that I was the driver. They're like, oh, they split. Is she okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I made a choice. You know, yes, I'm sad that this didn't work out the way I expected it. Yes, I'm sad that I'm not having children, you know. But I'm not. I made those choices. I walked away.
I should have called you more.
I'm not going to be treated this way, or I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship. So I did feel empowered enough to walk away, you know. So there wasn't.
It's interesting.
Feeling when
that knowing when to walk away moment is very interesting, or knowing when it's not going to work. I'm going to throw a bit of a statistic at you, which surprised me. In 2020, as of February 2020, last year, obviously, approximately 39% of marriages in America ended in divorce.
Yeah, and I think the stats in Australia are about 50-50, I believe.
Yeah, I think COVID was definitely that was just before COVID. COVID had definitely had to put things under a pressure cooker for a lot of people who are in those relationships that, you know, weren't working. It's either put up or shut up when you're stuck together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There was a lot here in the media about domestic violence at the time, because domestic violence isolates people already, and then they're isolated again. Like,
and lockdown never ended here in New York.
And the lockdown never ends in America, unless you're in Florida.
Come to Florida. Yay.
Obviously, that should always be, you know, a non-negotiable, your safety, the safety of your children, your health and your mental health. But there are other aspects in relationships that seem to drive people apart. So the idea of having to have this one person, the monogamy, that covers your spiritual, physical, mental needs, is that outdated? I mean, if you might not click someone emotionally, but you might have, as Jeffrey said, an emotional affair hurts just as much.
But see,
what
you're referring to, and I think it's important that we get clear on what the definition of monogamy actually is here, because what you just implied, you used the word monogamy and then you followed with finding someone that meets your physical, emotional, spiritual, financial needs, right?
Yeah. But
that's
yeah.
not monogamy. That's the concept of the one.
Yeah, whereas, I'm getting, yeah.
Okay,
so
continue.
I was getting there. So if that is several people, if it's not, do you know what I mean? If you're not with one person and that is your, so I'm trying to, now you fucked me up. You fucked me right up. I was on a roll.
Katie, he does this every show. He's like, I'm getting there. Just shoot.
I'm getting there. I have a lot. Shut up.
Where are we going? Where are you
going? Take a breath, darling. Continue.
So if you're married to someone. Yes. Married someone, yes? Marriage, you're expected to be monogamous with that one person.
If that's the agreement.
Yes, socially. So does that agreement change in the modern world is what I'm saying. Should it be reconsidered? That
there's a whole group of swingers, and they have parties.
If both parties believe that, is that a failure of monogamy, though? It's not, right? Because you're choosing. You're both deciding that I love this person, but I don't have to stay with this. Like, this person is not my universe.
Yeah, look, I think this concept that we have, that our generation and older has around, you know, and I called it the Disney princess syndrome because it is a relatively new concept, right? Let's go back, let's say, even 100 years, all right? Getting married was a very different reasons why you got married. Fundamentally, if we talk about before women could vote, before women could work, all right, let's look at that generation. Why did they get married? They got married for financial security. They got married for social acceptance. What those women did not, and they got married so that they could have children if that's what they wanted, right? Which was kind of expected for everybody. What they didn't expect was to sit around having cocktails and chats with their husband, right? They had girlfriends for that, okay? They maybe didn't even expect their partner to be a lover. Not all marriages were sexual ones. They were marriages of financial or social convenience, and maybe it was perfectly normal for that woman or man to have a lover on the side. And this was normal. This was the unspoken truth that was accepted. So it's only really been, bizarrely, in the last 100 years or perhaps 50 years that suddenly, you know, the terms metrosexual and the soulmate and this and that, that we've developed this bizarre fantasy that not only was the one supposed to be something that we were looking for, but that they were going to meet every need that we had, sexual, social, spiritual, emotional.
This is what I was going for.
And frankly, I don't want to say that that's outdated. I think it was never the right, I think it's always been a fantastical thing because that's not how it's always been. That illusion, that phenomenon has been a very recent bizarre thing, and I do kind of blame Disney a little bit because it kept reaffirming this magical myth of the prince or the princess that gets saved or saves and the one and everything's happy ever after.
Well, Disney and every other musical theater genre.
Yeah, you know, and look, I'll qualify by saying I think for some people, for some people it does happen.
Yeah.
Like Marie and many others out there, I'm sure. And for them, I go, you know what? My heart just sings for you. I'm happy for you. But I believe personally that's a minority situation. And I think that long-term relationships are much better served, whether or not you agree on physical sexual monogamy or not. I think it's actually more sustainable to go, okay, so my husband or my wife or my partner is the person that I choose only to have sex with. But I'm going to get my social needs met by my friends, or I'm going to get my societal needs met by my family, or I'm going to get my personal spiritual needs met by my career. You know, there's all these other ways that we can feel whole as a person that don't require us to become codependent with another one person.
That was something
Thank you, Katie.
I think that was always sense. A point of contention. My one girlfriend that was always serial monogamous, picking whatever scraps came along. You know, we were talking one day and how her, whoever it was, no matter what was going on, that person was always first. Before her kids, before herself. And then she's like, your friends are more important than your husband. I'm like, because those are the people that I have the most intimate relationships with. Like, we talked about our sex lives. We talked about what we liked, what we didn't like. But for some odd reason, that did not translate over into my marriage. Like, we didn't have those uncomfortable conversations that I could have with my girlfriends. And it definitely strained the relationship. 10 years was a very long time to be in a place where you couldn't open up to each other. We didn't tell each other what we really wanted. You know, I'd say, what's your fantasy? You would say nothing. Like, and then I'd be pissed because you're lying to me. Like, why? What is the big deal? You know, and then as I gained weight or whatever, and it turned things into much more of a problem than they needed to be. You know, and that's something too that I learned after that. Okay, whoever I'm with next, regardless of what the relationship looks like, if it's open, if it's monogamous, whatever, I have to have that. Like, if we can talk about everything and be on the same page or not be on the same page, but work through it, then this isn't going to work. And the thing that freaks me out the most, if somebody you meet and like their perspective and they're like batshit crazy about they want to be in a relationship so quickly, I scream and run. Like, it's my first warning sign. I got to go. I can't do this.
Like, so Jeffrey, you should do this. My friend, she tells her boyfriend, you should think.
I don't know.
She tells her.
Look at that way. Speaking of that, they call it puppy love. A couple in the neighborhood down here, okay?
My friend says to her boyfriend all the time, now ask yourself this, if you do that, is that going to get your dick sucked? And if the answer is no, then you shouldn't do it. And that's how she gets her boyfriend to, if he's going to do something dumb, she always says to him, now ask yourself this. And I'm like, you know, Becky Jo, that's ingenious. Because Nate's like, yeah, no, I think you're probably, and she's like, and it probably will be a while before I do it again, so you probably shouldn't do that. So then he babes. So that's a good one for you, Jeffrey.
Nothing like a bit of sexual bribery, huh?
Yeah.
I love this cock-sucking currency you got going on in your
community. I work at a club, like not a club, but it's like a restaurant.
Right.
It turns good into time. A nightclub. Yeah. Believe me, Jeffrey loves it, but it's one of the top 100 clubs in the United States. And
Naughty.
Jeff has been there forever, and it's just crazy, and it's known all over the world, and it's just a fun time. But we have to laugh about things because it's hard to work there.
Steve, maybe we should start sending the new people the episode of Marie talks about taking the shot to the eye before the end of the show so they really know what they're getting into.
Come shut to the eyeballs. Always a bit of a
hive. I had a hive on my eye from like my makeup or something.
Marie's allergic.
To everything. Yeah, I'm allergic to everything. Everything.
So I think the main takeaway that we can get from our conversation today is that a lot of a success within a relationship requires you being honest and truly knowing yourself and your needs. So then you can be authentic with the person that you choose to be authentic with. It doesn't always have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be the one. It can be the two or the 47th or the, you know, the five and the six, if you're into that kind of thing.
One of the most successful marriages I ever saw was an open marriage. They've been committed to each other and their marriage for 50 years, but they've agreed to see other people.
That's the thing. If both people genuinely want the same thing, whether that's monogamy or not monogamy, then it works. You know? It's only when one person lies to the other, trying to do the right thing, then it's always going to be flawed.
There's so a big group in my area, a big group. Yeah.
Would we say that in our experience that a successful relationship requires self-knowledge and honesty as the cornerstones?
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah. Look at, the divorce was the best thing that ever happened to me because that's when I really started figuring out who I was. I mean, I had to stop and not look at what he did, but focus on like, well, where did I fuck up? What do I, and it was a great learning. People don't get that. They think I'm weird when I say that. I'm so sorry you're divorced. I'm like, don't be. I'm okay with it. Like, I'm happy for him.
Poor Vera, she's single. Yeah. No, I'm okay with it. You know what?
I mean, like, it was rough for the first couple months, but it was not really about him. It was about a life exploding. And change, you know? And people don't get that. They're like, oh, the fat dude with three kids that he adopted on his own and his husband left. And I'm like, that's not what happened. Like, it's okay. Right. They were foster kids. He couldn't, you know, he had to go. Like, he didn't walk out on them. Like, it was just what happened. Yep. And I think it's more hard dealing with other people.
Other people's expectations are always going to be worse.
Expectations of what my life should look like.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Vera, how dare you not be rattling around a gothic mansion with cobwebs everywhere going,
You know what the bad news is? It wasn't the ghost. My refrigerator really did shit the bed.
Upsetting. Upsetting. We thought Vera was haunted last week, but it just turned out she got shitty white goods.
Your vibrator didn't shit the bed.
No, that's fine.
That's important. Dear. It's important. Well, thank you guys for sharing today. I think it's a very different, very different for us to sit down and be honest and like speak our truth or our life experience, because hopefully that can help the people watching feel okay. I think in this modern time, there's a lot of, especially with social media, there's a lot of expectation being thrown about. If your life doesn't match the Instagram story or, you know, someone's so-and-so, then you're a failure. And I think the biggest thing today we've learned that failure is okay no matter what.
I think it's about finding your own normal.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then if you want to be partnered, to find someone else that has the same kind of idea of normal as you. You know, and then there's a place to begin
of other people's normal, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay for Marie to have a happily ever after and me not. I'm happy for Marie.
You're having a different happily ever after, Vera. It doesn't necessarily depend on it.
Ever after.
Well, Vera, if you want to come and clean up after him and deal with him farting, and by all means, because guess what? Disney princes didn't fart, okay? So they lied. They all lied to us. They weren't messy. They didn't make messes. So, and Jeffrey knows I'm OCD. So that's probably what we fight about the most is my OCD and cleaning. So
the best thing about being single is every pair of dirty socks on the floor are mine. Every dirty dish is mine. Yes. I don't have to answer to anybody if I don't want to do them. And if I have to do them tomorrow, that's my choice, you know?
His family, his family thought it'd be a good idea to bring him a bunch of Big Red. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's a red soda that stains. Yeah. And I have beige carpet. Yeah. Fun to kill them. Okay.
Yeah. That's the thing. I listen to married people talk about their relationship, and I'm like, this is why I stay single. You all
so
fucking
whatever you choose to be, whatever you choose to be out there is fine, really, is our general message. We thank everyone for watching with us today and being with us today, and we'll be back soon with some other big questions. But if you have something that you'd like us to talk about, please drop us an email at myuncensoredradio@gmail.com.
And then,
until then.
Baby, let's talk about
I think it's definitely going to be a sex topic coming up.
What's Jeffrey?
Just Jeff Emmett for some merch.
Yeah, there you are. Wait.
Check out Katie Underwood on Spotify. She's a busy girl.
Yeah.
And we will see you all again on Friday for UCR Live. Until then, stay safe, stay happy, and be loved. Bye, kids.
Get the...